I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon. And on this edition of the show, we're going to be reacting to Arsenal's announcement of the signing of Fabio Vieira. Now, we've known that this has been coming for a while. We were told to expect an announcement within the next 24 to 48 hours. That was yesterday afternoon. And here we are on Tuesday evening, with the announcement having been made. The Portuguese under 21 international has joined Arsenal on a long-term contract. We're going to be talking about the announcement. We're going to be briefly touching on Fabio Vieira's welcome interview, but we're going to be having a wider discussion around what exactly this player is going to bring to the side. So lots and lots to get into. We're also going to be reacting to some of the latest reports regarding other targets, the likes of Rafinha, Gabriel Jesus, Lisandro Martinez. We're going to be getting into all of that, as well as taking your thoughts from the chat box as well. So really, really looking forward to this one. Let's say a few hellos before we dive right into the thick of it. A big hello to the Fort Lauderdale Gooner, Craig, and to everybody else over there in the States. I've had a few messages over the last few days, which has been amazing. And I've got another Arsenal fan club scarf on the way to me, which I'll then be proudly propping up behind me along with some of the others. Big hello to Asaf, to Zebik, to Clock N Seb, to Wes Bird, to Vivian, to Maxim, to Curtis, to Paul, to Lynn, to John, to Craig. So many of you. Apologies if I've missed some of them out, but there are so many names popping up on my screen at the moment. It is brilliant to see. Okay, look, let's dive in then to the Fabio Vieira stuff. That's the only place really, isn't it, to kick off. So that announcement has been made. Fabio Vieira joins Arsenal on a long-term contract. The Gunners have finally got their man. It looked as though, this one was... Well, no, I'm not going to say it looked as though it came as a surprise. Like, let's be honest about it, right? It completely came out of the blue. Nobody expected it. Nobody knew we were even interested in the player. And bang, we got the news. Arsenal had agreed terms with Porto. Arsenal had agreed terms with the player. And here we are just a few days later with the signing confirmed officially by the football club. Let's have a quick look at what Arsenal have posted. They say the 22-year-old midfielder, who made 54 appearances during his time with Porto, developed through the Portuguese club's youth academy, made his first team debut in June 2020 and was part of the Primeira Liga winning sides in both 2019-20 and 21-22. He's a Portuguese under 21 international and has scored an impressive 13 goals from his 21 appearances. He's also represented his country at youth level, playing all five tournament matches as Portugal finished runners-up at the 2019 UEFA Under-19 Championships. During last season's Primeira League winning season, Fabio made 27 appearances, scoring 6 goals and providing 14 assists. Here is what technical director Edu had to say. He said, "We're so pleased to have completed the signing of Fabio from Porto. He's a player with special qualities who is comfortable with the ball in the final third. We're all looking forward to working with him and enjoying his future contribution to Arsenal. We will now continue to work hard and are looking forward to finishing this transfer window as strongly as possible." Now, that is good to hear, isn't it? Because there was a lot of talk, there was a lot of doubt about whether Arsenal were going to be busy in this transfer window, whether the sort of slow start, as it were, viewed in many people's eyes, was going to be a sign of things to come, or if indeed Arsenal would really start ramping it up. And judging by the reports that we're reading from a number of outlets, judging by all the stories that we're hearing, it feels as though Arsenal are going big again in this transfer window. And so to hear Edu say, "We will now continue to work hard and are looking forward to finishing this transfer window as strongly as possible," gives you a bit of encouragement, doesn't it? That these reports are more than just reports, that there is substance to them, and that we could well be seeing a number of significant additions coming in. Mikel Arteta said, "I'm very excited that we have identified and signed such a special talent. Fabio is a very creative player that will bring high quality and versatility to our attacking play. We welcome Fabio and his family to our club and are looking forward to starting work with him ahead of the new season. As was rumoured as well, the announcement from the club goes on to confirm that he will be wearing the number 21 shirt, formerly worn, of course, by Callum Chambers. And I've seen a few joke tweets going around saying, oh my God, what an outrage. How could they give him the number 21 shirt worn by the legendary Callum Chambers in a kind of a bit of a joke and a bit of a bid to sort of poke fun at those that were really upset by the fact that Eddie Nketiah had been given the number 14 shirt. I appreciate that humour, I've got to say. But, you know, another key point in that statement, Mikel Arteta says, we're not just looking forward to welcoming Fabio Vieira, we're looking forward to welcoming his family as well. And that's the kind of man management, that's the kind of sort of family bond and unity that Mikel Arteta is looking to breed at the football club. And clearly that is powerful in the way that it kind of makes a player feel really, really invested. Now, Fabio Vieira gave an interview with the club, which you can watch on arsenal.com. You can read the transcript to it if you prefer to do it that way. But, you know, he sort of alluded to the fact that he hasn't even met Mikel Arteta yet in person because, of course, it hasn't worked out. From what I understand, Fabio Vieira came in to London on Friday, had his medical, took all his pictures, went through all the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's, and now has returned back to his holiday, which was obviously cut short in order for him to get that deal done. But it is done now. And yeah, brilliant to see. And, he, you know, I wanted to talk, as I say, a little bit about what he brings to the table, a little bit about what he's going to bring to the team, a little bit about how, you know, that we can best integrate him into the picture. Because a lot of people have sort of talked about the fact that maybe Fabio Vieira is going to come in and play in that deeper role in midfield alongside a Partey, alongside a Xhaka, that he is the reason, in some people's view, even though it wasn't initially reported that way, but a lot of people have kind of assumed, or from having read between the lines, believe that actually he is going to be the one that comes in to fill what would have been Yuri Tielemans' role. I'm not entirely sure that that is the role that Fabio Vieira is going to play for Arsenal. I think he's going to play in a slightly different role, and I'll come on to explain what my views and my thoughts are in just a little bit. But before we do that, in order to understand a little bit more about the type of player that Arsenal have signed, I think it's really, really important that we go in for some expert insight. And I was reading a really, really interesting piece on BBC Sport by Marcus Alves earlier today. And I picked out a few key points from that piece that I just wanted to sort of share with you guys. Now, in this piece, he's interviewed a couple of people. He's interviewed a guy called Manuel Tulipa, who is a former coach at Porto and obviously had the pleasure of working with and assisting in Fabio Vieira's development. He's also spoken to Porto's current assistant coach, Vitor Bruno, and there is one of Fabio Vieira's cousins who's given some thoughts on him as well. And the reason that that's relevant is because he too was at Porto as a youngster coming through. But I just want to share a few quotes with you in order to try and give us, as I say, a little bit more of an understanding as to what exactly it is that Arsenal have signed, what exactly we can expect from the player. But here's what Manuel Tulipa had to say when I assume he was asked about the fact that Fabio Vieira had made this big money move, which is rumoured to be around about £34-35 million. He said, players like Fabio are worth a lot of money. So if you can grab them before they fully break out, then why not? That's smart business. So, you know, clearly there is a feeling in Portugal, there is a feeling around Porto that although Fabio Vieira really, really did impress in the second half of last season, and let's not forget, he wasn't a regular during the first half of that campaign. He came in the second half and made a real impact. He was trusted by Conte Sao. He was given the opportunity to affect the game. It even led to Conte Sao slightly shaking up his formation a little bit because Luis Diaz had been a real focal point of that Porto attack. And then, of course, he moved on to Liverpool, which kind of meant that Conceição had to rethink things. That opened the door for Fabio Vieira to come into the side. And from there, as I say, he really grabbed the opportunity by the scruff of the neck, took full advantage of it, and has earned himself a big money move. Just what, 6 months into having really established himself as a Porto player? You know, so you get the feeling and you get the impression from people in Portugal that this is a player who, yeah, has impressed and has shown glimpses of what he may be able to bring to the table, and has shown people that he could be, you know, a very, very exciting player moving forward. But there's still a general consensus that he's not there yet, that this is an opportunity that Arsenal have found and Arsenal have decided to take, on the basis that this guy is still nowhere near what people think he could be. He said he's the type of creative midfielder who comes up with solutions when you're struggling during a game. He can always see what's going on around him, and he anticipates what will happen well. That's the dream for any manager, and he's the sort of footballer that clubs are always looking for. Now, that's really, really important, because I think what's kind of happened at Arsenal is we've desperately tried to move in a different direction for a number of years now. And in a lot of ways, our kind of identity got a little bit lost. I mean, I used to say, you know, when Mikel Arteta first came in, one of the things I used to say when I was a little bit unsure about whether this was moving in the right direction or not, and one of the things I said about Unai Emery's team at times when they struggled, was you could say what you liked about Arsene Wenger and you could be as critical as you like of Arsene Wenger, but one thing you could never say with any regularity when Arsene Wenger was in charge was that the team lacked creativity, lacked guile, and lacked technical ability, because Arsene Wenger always made sure that we had those types of players in the squad. Now, there was problems with that because it meant that we were unbalanced in other areas. It meant that at times we were way too vulnerable, that our midfield wasn't robust enough. And we saw Arsene Wenger during his time as Arsenal boss almost completely flip his approach on its head, where he started out with these really sort of physical, powerful players, the likes of Patrick Vieira, you know, the Sol Campbells, and then you combine that with technical ability as well in the shape of people like Thierry Henry, and you had Freddy Ljungberg, who was an incredibly hard worker, but also technically a very, very good player. And then the emergence of Barcelona happened under Pep Guardiola, and it kind of reset people's minds as to what football was supposed to look like. And we saw Arsenal try and shift to a more technical-based approach, where we signed the likes of Chleb, Cazorla, Rosicki, you know, just to name a few. And we ended up in a situation where we had an abundance of technical ability, but maybe we weren't always up for the fight. And when Mikel Arteta came in, and to a degree when Unai Emery was in charge as well, there was a clear emphasis on trying to bring in players that were a little bit harder, stronger, tougher, more physical. And we almost veered away, not completely, but in a lot of ways, from what had made Arsenal relatively successful in recent years. I'm not talking about the Invincibles. I'm talking about what made us, or what allowed us to continuously challenge for the Champions League, what allowed us to continually be able to score goals, create chances, opportunities, etc., etc. And so to see not Arsenal completely shifting back that way, because that's not what they're doing, but to see Arsenal add the physicality again of Gabriel, you know, of Tomiyasu, of Partey, you know, of Nuno Tavares. And I know that deal hasn't really worked out brilliantly, but you know what I mean, in terms of that profile of player that's got pace, power, all of that physical stuff, to then understand that Arsenal understand that they need to have a bit of a mixture and they need to find the right balance, it is great to see, because Fabio Vieira ticks all of the technical boxes, but isn't, as you're going to hear in a minute, physically the type of player that you'd associate with the Premier League. And that's something that he has to work on. But let me continue through some of these quotes. He says he takes risks in his passing, refuses to play the obvious ball, and to see that he's a risk taker in distribution is important for me. Because often, I think particularly in the modern game, we've become so obsessed with stats. We've become so obsessed with pass completion rates and, you know, completed key passes and passes into the penalty area that we often overlook the fact that in order to be a creative outlet, sometimes those stats are going to fall off. You know, you can't be a risk taker in your distribution and have a close to 100% passing accuracy. Like, it's unless you're the best player in the world, like unless you're, you know, this incredible talent that has, you know, managed to corner every sort of angle of his skill set, it doesn't work like that. Most of the players that are risk takers in distribution will not reflect 100% and will not reflect anything close to 100% in their pass completion rates, in their accuracy, because they are trying things that other players don't even have the balls to try, which means they're difficult things, which means they're things that could be difference makers. And so sometimes they have to think a little bit outside the box. And sometimes when it's not their day, it can be frustrating. As a fan, it can irritate, it can annoy. As a manager, it can irritate, it can annoy. But of course, when it comes off, we're talking about genius. And a really good example of this at Arsenal over the years is Alexis Sanchez. I mean, I remember when things started going south with Alexis Sanchez and towards the back end of his Arsenal career, one of the big criticisms that he received was, well, he gives the ball away too much when he receives it in the final third. Yeah, he does. But he gives the ball away because he's A, trying to find the killer pass, or B, trying to stick one in the top corner. Nobody else in that team at that time, or very few at least, were capable or willing to try that little bit extra, to produce that bit of X factor that you sometimes need to break through teams, break through defenses, you know. And sometimes you need that unpredictability. Sometimes you need that player that thinks outside the box. And I believe that Fabio Vieira could be this. What I will say, though, and I'd advise caution, is that in my opinion, Arsenal haven't done this deal with a view to Fabio Vieira waltzing into the team on the first game of the season and being tasked with all of the creative responsibility. I think over the course of the season, he'll be bedded in, he'll get his opportunities. And we'll come on to talk about the position I think suits him best in this Arsenal side in a little bit. But I think this is one very much with a view to the future. And as was described by Manuel Tulipa, Arsenal have gone in to get this player before he fully breaks out. And so with that needs to be a sense of understanding. With that needs to come an acceptance of what his role in the side is going to be going forward. Look, if he comes in and he does great, then there's no reason why he won't be in the team. But the point I'm trying to make here is that don't be sucked in by the transfer fee. Don't think that because of the transfer fee that Arsenal have paid here, that he's going to be the creative... What's the word I'm looking for here? That he's going to be solely responsible for our creativity, that he's going to be expected to produce the kind of outputs that will be the difference between us qualifying for the Champions League or not. This is something that is going to be ongoing. And I think Arsenal, and particularly the way that Edu worded his statement, are giving that message to us. This is one that will be a really good signing, that will show us what he's capable of. But we have to be patient. We have to back off the lad just slightly because of how young he is, because of the adaptation period required, and because of the adaptations he's going to have to make to his game, and particularly physically. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. I've seen a lot of tweets over the last couple of hours with people saying, you know, he's really skinny. He looks really slight. He looks really frail. How's he going to handle it in the Premier League? I mean, you look at players like Luka Modric, he's not exactly built like a brick shithouse, and he's done absolutely fine throughout his career. I think when you look at people like, as is pointed out in the chat, Bernardo Silva, you could probably make a similar case in a similar argument. But I do think that as is again highlighted by Tulipa, and I'll just move on to the next comment to kind of wrap this section up. He says he can dribble, combine, slow down the tempo, break into the box, and score goals. Players like him need to be close to the goal. He needed, though, to improve off of the ball. However, under Conceição, he has grown into a more collective athlete. So even those who are associated with Porto, who have had the pleasure of coaching him, who have waxed lyrical about this guy throughout his career, understand and acknowledge that physically he's just not quite there yet. And there's still a lot of work to be done in that department. So I think it's important that we take note of that as Arsenal fans and understand that is something he's going to need to work on. And again, look, this is a great point as well. Jay says Saka isn't massive either. He's not at all. Just takes a few months to get used to it. And I think that's one of the areas in which Bukayo Saka's dramatically improved, actually, probably over the last 12 months. The way he uses his body, the way he holds off challenges and the way he spins away from people when previously he may have just been clattered. So, yeah, good to see, good to read. Now, another one of the common questions around Fabio Vieira has been, well, how on earth have we, sanctioned the idea of spending this amount of money on a player who only really shined at senior level at the back end of last season? How have we felt that that was enough to convince us to part with such a vast amount of money? And a lot of people have been talking about maybe some of the reasons why he wasn't given the opportunities, some of the reasons why it's taken him till 22 to really establish himself in the Porto side. The argument has been made that it's not the strongest league in the world, that it should be easier to break through there than it would have been, for example, in the Premier League, in La Liga, in Serie A, in the Bundesliga, whatever. And again, some really interesting comments, from Manuel Tulipa, former Porto youth coach. He says he wasn't appreciated by a coach or two, and he didn't always play much during his journey to the first team, but through no fault of his own. So again, like, we don't know, because I haven't watched enough of him. I haven't watched a lot of Porto. I'm not privy to what goes on there, and I don't know an awful lot about that football club to be able to sit here and talk with any degree of confidence. But it's interesting that he highlights that wasn't appreciated by a coach or two, because you do get that in football. And I think to overlook the possibility of that being the case is quite naive. You know, we often see players thrive under certain coaches and struggle under others. We see coaches come in and embed philosophies and apply styles of play that aren't necessarily suited to the skill set of some of even their most talented players. And that can leave people left by the wayside. So I'm going to give Fabio Vieira the benefit of the doubt with regards to that, and we'll see how he fares at Arsenal. Porto's assistant coach Vitor Bruno had this to say. He said Fabio has the intelligence of the wise old men, which suggests that this player, in terms of his footballing ability, has a maturity beyond his years. He talked, and I'm talking about Fabio Vieira, that is, during his interview about what he likes to do in his spare time. He was asked the question, you know, what does he like to do? What does he enjoy doing? What is it that he does in his spare time? He was asked to talk about his hobbies. And he said, to be honest, you know, I like to chill. I like to stay home and relax with my girlfriend. So he doesn't seem like a party animal. He doesn't seem like somebody who's going to go out Jack Grealish style and get pictured after a night out. He seems like somebody who is very grounded, who is very focused on his football. Talked about his passing and his shooting being his standout qualities and standout strengths. And fingers crossed he can bring some of that to the football club. So that's my kind of little download on Fabio Vieira. Where do I think he fits best? Now, I wrote an article about this on 90min.com, which some of you may have come across on my Twitter feed or via the community tab on the YouTube channel. I don't want to spend too long on this because I've kind of gone over it before, and I don't want to bore people. But just briefly, in terms of where I think he'll fit, and again, I mentioned earlier on that people are talking about him being an eight sitting in that midfield, potentially with Martin Odegaard. I don't think initially, while he's getting up to speed, while he is physically building himself up, I don't think that that is a viable option. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. I just don't think we can afford to upset the defensive balance, to upset the level of presence that we have in the middle of the park with, for example, Xhaka and Partey in there. by putting a very slight young man who's still adapting to Premier League football into that area of the park. It's such a key area of the park. And that stability for me is so key in getting the best out of Martin Odegaard. So in my personal opinion, I think that where he will be best suited to this Arsenal team at this stage is to be playing either in the Odegaard role, either a second fiddle to the Norwegian, or playing as a backup on either the right-hand side or the left-hand side. Now, obviously, he's going to get opportunities, I think, initially in some of the cup games. That will be a good sort of introduction to English football. I think he's going to be given opportunities in the Europa League, where perhaps the pace is a little bit slower, the physicality a little bit less. And I think that will give him a good opportunity to kind of learn his teammates, understand the Arsenal way, etc., etc. But I think for the time being, particularly at the start of the season, unless we have an injury crisis, and touch wood, that isn't the case, I think he will very much be used as a rotational player. And I think that the majority of his appearances at the start, at least, should come. And I don't know that they will, but should come on the right-hand side where he's played before, on the left-hand side where he's played before, or in the 10 role as kind of a second striker without an awful lot of defensive midfield responsibility. So that's where I am on where I'd like to see him utilised at this very early stage in his Arsenal career. Okay, let's bring you a couple of quick updates on some of the other bits and pieces. Again, lots of rumours, lots of reports that Arsenal are closing in on Rafinha after Barcelona have reportedly cooled their interest in the 25-year-old. That story broke yesterday initially from Goal, but has been re-reported by a number of outlets, with Sky Sports this afternoon saying that Arsenal are yet to make an official approach for the player, but are readying one to propose to Leeds United. Talked about this as well briefly yesterday. Lisandro Martinez, the 24-year-old Argentine centre-back Arsenal are said to have their sights set on, is now a target for Manchester United as well. Now, they've missed out on the possibility of Jurrien Timber, who in a World Cup year was seemingly not convinced that Old Trafford was the place for him, or that he'd play enough football there to hold down his place in the Dutch squad, and has decided, at least for the time being, to not make that move. So that suggests that Manchester United are still in the hunt for a centre-back, and given Erik ten Hag's links to Ajax, we understand that he's been asked to be kept aware of the situation regarding Martinez. With Jesus, there were some reports this morning that claimed that the story regarding his agents coming into London was inaccurate. Others have moved to quash that and say that actually they are, if not in London already, certainly on their way here to help progress this negotiation. And Charles Watts told us earlier today, that it's going to be a really crucial week with regards to the Jesus stuff. Another bit of news, a brilliant piece from our good friend over at the Gunner Talk TV on football.london was with regards to Sambi Lokonga, who he says is set to stay despite all the loan chat. Which is interesting because when we were talking about a potential midfield departure, that is one of the things that crossed my mind. You know, is that the best thing for Sambi Lokonga? If so, what would be a good option? Because you can have good loans and you can have bad loans. I mean, you can have William Saliba loans to Marseille, where it worked out sensationally for everybody involved. And then you can have Serge Gnabry loans to West Brom that worked out like absolute shit, basically, and ended up, I think, sort of painting a false picture and ultimately costing us a really talented player. So I want to see Lokonga stay. I want to see him given an opportunity in the Europa League. I think that is, as Tom so brilliantly put, the kind of breeding ground in which we'll get to see Lokonga continue his development. Similarly to what I was saying about Fabio Vieira, I think he was used more than the club maybe had envisaged at the beginning when he came in at the start of the season due to a number of factors. But I think they're still pretty convinced and pretty satisfied with what they've seen of him so far, and do genuinely believe that he can go on and be a really important player for the Gunners moving forward. The other thing I just wanted to touch on before I move on to take some of your questions and thoughts from the live chat for the last sort of half an hour or so was earlier on when I was scrolling through Twitter, I think this was this morning, and people were saying, oh my God, Arsenal have removed their pinned tweet. Announcement incoming. It's coming at 12. 20 minutes to go, 15 minutes to go. I saw one account in particular counting down until midday where they expected the Fabio Vieira announcement to come through, only for Arsenal to drop a few merchandise tweets in between, which drove people absolutely insane. It was just so Arsenal. Loved it. Really, really good stuff. Top banter. Brilliant to see. But yeah, anyway, it's done now. The announcement has been made. As I say, Fabio Vieira joins Arsenal on a long-term contract. We're going to take a very, very short pause, and then we're going to be crossing over to the chat box for your thoughts and your questions. But just before we jump into that, if I could just ask if you would kindly hit the like button, I'd very, very much appreciate it. There are over 600 of you watching us across the multiple platforms live right now. We've only got 133 likes on the board. Let's set a target of 300 likes for the time being. It should be more than achievable. Hit the like button, subscribe to the channel if you're new. If you'd like to be a member of the channel and support me in my quest to bring you daily Arsenal content, then please do so by clicking on the link in the description as well. Start getting those questions in. Going to come to those in just a moment. Hello and welcome to part two of the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. It is question time. Let's take some of your questions. Let's take some of your thoughts from the live chat. Let's take this one from Steve, who says, "Hi, Harry. Given the way we're strengthening this summer, do you think we're going aggressive because the upstairs hierarchy have smelt blood with considerably weaker competition in the top four, top six? Chelsea are going through a huge organisational change. United look a mess. Liverpool have an ageing squad and don't look as scary. I think we've noticed an opportunity to jump ahead." I think that that might play a part. Now, I don't want to write off any of those clubs that you've mentioned, because I think that would be unfair and slightly premature. I think that with Chelsea's new ownership, they will still have, in my opinion, the ability to go big in the transfer market and still be relatively powerful in that sense. I don't think there'll be Abramovich levels again. I don't think there'll ever be an owner in world football that would be willing to just forfeit his money and almost accept such substantial losses in order to get that deal done. Now, of course, you've got it with some of the state-owned clubs, but that's very different. You know, I'm talking about an individual owner like Roman Abramovich. I don't think you're going to see that again. I still think, having said that, that Chelsea would be quite powerful. I think what Arsenal recognise is not necessarily that these clubs are weak or poor or not able to compete at the top end anymore. But what I do think is that Arsenal will feel that they are putting the structure in place and the foundations in place for sustainable success. And that's the key word, sustainable. You look at Tottenham and you look at what they're doing right now. And yes, they qualified for the Champions League, and congratulations to them. They deserved it over the course of the season. The table doesn't lie, but it's built on a shaky foundation. It's built on the premise of a manager who's repeatedly walked away from jobs prematurely is going to stay at that football club and continue to carry them in the right direction. You look at Manchester United, and I'd argue that they're further behind in terms of the rebuild. In fact, they're just starting it with Erik ten Hag. So we've got an advantage there, you would think, if we do the right business and if we keep moving in the right direction. I don't want to write off Liverpool because I still think that they've got a fantastic side. And I think that although a lot of people are looking at the departure of Sadio Mane as almost kind of like the end of an era for Liverpool, you have to acknowledge that in Luis Diaz, they've brought in a player who isn't quite at those levels yet, but has certainly shown glimpses and signs that he could get to that level. So I think that they've always been very good, particularly under Klopp in their recruitment. They've signed some really great players, and I don't want to write them off. But yeah, of course, that the end of that kind of dynasty doesn't feel a million miles away, given what's going on with Salah as well. I think that Arsenal have looked at it and gone, we've kind of got through the shit phase. You know, we've gone through the worst period, and it will only get better now as long as we continue to invest and as long as we continue to build on those strong foundations that have been set by that initial clear out and then strong recruitment over a couple of summers. If we can follow that up, Arsenal will feel that they can re-establish themselves over the coming years as a top four side again. And I do think that you're right. And so what you're saying is accurate, in my opinion, in that they're looking around and they feel like they've kind of got through the worst part. Now it's time to push on and accelerate. But I am obviously reluctant to write off a lot of those clubs because of the spending power and because of, I guess, ultimately how quickly things can change in football as well. Lynn says, Harry, have you heard the rumours of Alexis Sanchez coming back? I did read a little bit of that earlier today, but I don't believe there to be any truth in that. I don't think that Mikel Arteta would go down that route. I think it completely contradicts the approach that we're seemingly taking. So I don't envisage that happening. No, but I did read it earlier today as well. This is a comment more than a question, but Clock N Seb says Martinez should be very high on the shopping list. A hybrid of centre-back, left-back and defensive midfield with Partey and Kieran Tierney's injury history, as well as Xhaka's temperament, he could be invaluable. Great point. Really do. What else have we got? Paul James says, if we can't get Tielemans, would Fabian Ruiz bring the same sort of quality? I've kind of had my say on Fabian Ruiz quite a bit over the last year and a half or so when he's sort of repeatedly been linked with a move to Arsenal. And my opinion on Fabian Ruiz hasn't changed all that much. I think technically he's superb. I think he can create. I think he can score goals. I think he can impact games in the final third. I think he can do a job in the centre of midfield as well. But as I keep saying, if you think that Granit Xhaka can be a little bit slow on the turn, if you think he can be a little bit clunky in the way he moves across the pitch, I guarantee you in the Premier League, when you look at Fabian Ruiz, very quickly you'll be saying a lot of the same things. As not to say he's a bad player, and we always have this conversation about Xhaka. Some players are better suited to different footballing environments. I'm just not convinced on a personal level that Fabian Ruiz would bring a lot more in terms of his mobility or the kind of mobility that Tielemans offers. And taking into consideration what it would cost to get him, I think that there's too much element of risk in that one, if you ask me. But that is simply my opinion. Chris Chan says, we need to get you a Chicago Gooner scarf. Mate, I'd love to have them. As I said to you guys yesterday, I'm sort of doing up the studio. We've got loads of stuff on the walls, loads of photos and all that stuff. But you can never have too much Arsenal stuff, eh? Yeah, we've got the Fort Lauderdale Gooners one, which you can see here. We've got a Cincinnati Gooners one on the way as well. Let me know. Hit me on DM, Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want. Let me know. Not an Arsenal-related question, but this one's from Craig. He says, Harry, I'm off to Rhodes next month. Have you been? If so, can you recommend anything to do or food to explore? Well, the food will be lovely because it's always nice in Greece. But what I said to the gentleman that was with us yesterday is, if you can, and I know a lot of people don't like to do this or don't want to do this, get out the hotel. Go and explore where the locals go and eat. The only time I went to Rhodes, I was about 6 years old. I don't remember it, if I'm being completely honest with you. So I wouldn't be able to give you any recommendations. But it's pretty much the same anywhere you go in Greece, right? Look for where the locals are eating. Get out of the hotels. Get out of the complexes. You'll find much better value for money and a much higher quality of food. Wandering Minstrel says, do you think Arsenal are now being taken seriously with nothing being linked with the Fabio deal? I think that it was great to see that nothing got leaked, and it was great to see it almost creep up on us. I think it was a real reminder of the fact that good business is done quietly and that we don't always know everything as a fan base, and therefore we shouldn't always jump to conclusions. Do I think that it means Arsenal are now being taken seriously? I think we are going to be taken seriously if we manage to get over the line a number of the other signings that we're being linked with this summer. I think particularly the Gabriel Jesus one is a real statement, isn't it? Not only because we're going to pay a substantial amount of money for a player that is in the final year of his contract, making it clear that if we want someone, we will go that extra mile to get them. But also the fact that Gabriel Jesus would choose to join Arsenal would suggest to maybe the onlookers that Arsenal are moving in the right direction, given that his stock at the moment is relatively high. You know, I think just situations differ, right? I think, you know, when you look at Gabriel Jesus, he's a much higher profile player than Fabio Vieira. Rafinha, being a Premier League star, almost carrying Leeds on his shoulder for a couple of seasons now. Premier League star, it was always going to be more difficult to do anything involving those players without there being a lot of clamour, a lot of noise, a lot of reports. And obviously, the more high profile somebody is, the harder it is to keep a deal quiet. So I think in an ideal world, you want to avoid those leaks. But from what I understand and kind of from what we've been told, the Fabio Vieira deal wasn't one that dragged on. It wasn't one that was discussed and then, you know, there was a lot of back and forth. It was pretty clear that Arsenal wanted him. They knew clearly what Porto were looking for. And that, as many people say, was probably down to the relationship that Edu has managed to strike up with the agent, Jorge Mendes. We knew what Porto wanted. We knew what he wanted, having felt out the ground. And the decision and all the paperwork and all of it was done really bloody quickly by today's standards. So I don't know that it was because everything was watertight. I think that people maybe missed this because A, he wasn't on anybody's radar, and B, because of the speed at which everything was agreed, which is not always the case. So yeah, you know, I think that it's great that it didn't leak out. As I say, though, I think that we'll be taken seriously if and when we're able to get that statement signed in over the line. I don't know what's going on, but the sun has just decided to move and reflect right into my bloody face. Apologies if it's affecting the picture quality. Guna Works says, I have to say this is a great signing. Going to be rooting for him to succeed. But even if he doesn't work out at Arsenal, he should have great sell-on value. Young and apparently on fairly low wages. That is correct, based on what we're hearing. Tim Drake says, is the Tielemans transfer dead or just on the back burner to focus on others first? So from what I know, it seems that Arsenal are keen on Youri Tielemans, that Arsenal want to get the Belgian in the club. And that is the case, regardless, not even taking into account the fact that we've just signed Fabio Vieira, that they're two separate targets and one coming in isn't contingent on the other. That's what we were told. That's what was reported. That's what I believe. What I think is the case with the Tielemans deal, and it is just my opinion, is that there is some sort of issue involving the intermediaries involved in this particular negotiation. Because we'd all heard that Leicester had set their price, that it was a price Arsenal felt was reasonable, that Youri Tielemans himself wants the move to Arsenal and is happy to do it. So there's no other real explanation. And I have been told that by a couple of people, that the intermediary thing is what's holding this up. And I've also been told that Arsenal haven't said, we're not signing Youri Tielemans, that's that, full stop, draw a line under it. What I've heard is that Arsenal have gone, okay, well, this is our offer to Leicester and to the player. They know what we've put on the table. The player knows what we've put on the table. And he knows that if he wants this deal to go through, the other issue involving what is believed to be the intermediaries needs to be resolved. We're going to take a step back from this. We're going to go back into the market and focus on completing the other deals that we have in the pipeline, as opposed to getting caught up in this long-winded process that might not ever even go anywhere. When you're ready to come back to the table, when you're ready to push this through, when you've ironed out the problems at the intermediary's end, we will do this deal. And from what I understand, it is involving Youri Tielemans' representatives and what they are wanting in order to facilitate this deal. So Arsenal have gone, see you later. We're going to go and get on with our other business. And if you decide that you can sort this issue out, if you can overcome this problem, we'll be back. But until then, we're not going to get caught up. We're not going to spend the entirety of our window chasing a deal that might not even go through. So yeah, that's my view on the Tielemans thing at the moment. Going to pick out a few more questions as well. Let's see what we've got here. Just scrolling through. While I'm doing that, be sure to hit the like button if you haven't done so already. and subscribe, of course, to the channel if you're new. Remember, if I miss some of your questions, I do apologize. I'm just picking some at random from the live chat. Wesbird says, are you concerned that we will not be able to get rid of our deadwood and that could have a knock-on impact on who we bring in? I think that Arsenal have demonstrated over the last few seasons that, you know, over the last two summers in particular and in January as well, that they're not going to be held to ransom by players that were clearly mistakes in the past. And what I mean by that is, you know, that the Aubameyang contract proved to be a mistake. What did they do? They swallowed it. They cut him loose. Ozil contract proved to be a mistake. They swallowed it. They cut him loose. Serge Kolasinac's time at Arsenal was cut short. Socrates' time at Arsenal was cut short on that basis, on that premise. I think that eventually we'll get to a place this summer where we have to do something similar with the likes of Lucas Torreira. Maybe not terminate the contract, but accept a very low fee. I think that the same will have to happen with Hector Bellerin. We've already kind of, to a degree, allowed Matteo Guendouzi to leave dirt cheap. We've allowed Mavropanos to join Stuttgart in a deal that maybe doesn't reflect what his value would be in the modern market. And I think that Arsenal are just accepting of the fact that they've made a lot of mistakes in the past. And the only way that we can rebuild and get to where we want to be is by almost hitting that reset button and swallowing losses that are ultimately down to mistakes of the past. And so I don't expect it to be key in terms of executing the core business that we had earmarked for the summer. But I do think it could be the difference between us going that little bit extra, maybe bringing in another additional player or being able to stretch for one that we really want to a level that maybe wasn't seen as viable previously. So I do think there will be some impact, but I don't think it will have, as I say, a massive impact on the core business that Arsenal want to get done, because I think they're accepting. They're not stupid. I think they'll know. I think Edu will have been well aware of the fact that he was going to have a hard time based on the last couple of summers moving some of these players on. So yeah, that's where I'm at on that. Let's see what else we've got. Jota is a Porto fan and joins us. He says, I'm a Porto fan and I can tell you that this guy, Fabio Vieira, that is similar to Dybala. Very technical, final pass, assists, great long range passing, good shooting from a mid range. He's the typical Portuguese player. Well, that's what I want to hear. Thank you so much, mate, from that, for that insight. Brilliant. This is an interesting question. Tiago says, do you think Arsenal and the Big Six in general have a poor level of scouting of other European leagues and normally end up missing young talents available for a lot less outside of the top five leagues, i.e. places like Denmark? Yeah, I think that that's a fair comment. I think that a lot of the Big Six clubs are almost slaves to the fact that because of their big reputations and because of the big money that they are able to throw around, that they need to always look for premium proven players, and they will make the odd signing here and there. There's a bit of a project signing. Some have done it to good effect. Others haven't. You know, I do think that some of the bigger clubs are poor at that, and where you think that they have the most resource and the most time and the most ability to dedicate departments to that, they'd be ahead in that sense, but they're not. Clubs that have had to think outside the box, i.e. the likes of Brentford, really good example, you know, have been able to do that. And have done it to very, very good effect, brought in players for nominal fees that have been very, very impactful. The only thing I would say, though, as well, is it depends on your staff. It depends on who's making the decisions. You know, you, for example, when Arsene Wenger came into Arsenal, he had an acute knowledge of French football that set him apart from everybody else. And he was able to go into that league, pluck out players for, again, reasonable prices, bring them to Arsenal Football Club, and they thrive, and nobody had heard of them. Not here, anyway. You know, you look at Thomas Frank, of course, being a Dane, he will have that knowledge of the Danish market because it's a market in which he's been involved previously. You know, you get, I don't know, you know, let's, you know, Portuguese coaches going to Portugal, Spanish coaches going to Spain, South Americans dipping into the South American market. I think a lot of it comes down to familiarity at the end of the day and having that knowledge. I mean, look, Edu has a real tendency to go and pick out players from Brazil, doesn't he? because it's a market that he knows really well. But I do agree with your overall point that, you know, there are players that you can get for much cheaper who could be equally effective, you know, but it's about dedicating the time and the effort to making sure that, you know, you can identify those, because it's not as easy, it's not as clear, because they're not in your vision week in, week out, you know, out of sight, out of mind, as they say. Okay, let's move forward. This is a good question from the Fort Lauderdale Gooner, Craig, who says, Harry, since Udinese want Pablo Mari, would you offer him plus cash for Nahuel Molina? A very sought after right back, Nahuel Molina, player that I would quite like to see come to the club. I don't know that Pablo Mari to Udinese is going to go through unless we do what I talked about just a few minutes ago, which is accept that we're going to have to accept less money. So, you know, the player clearly wants that move to Italy. I think he was quite happy at Udinese. I think he felt at home there. So, yeah, I like Nahuel Molina for sure. But I don't know that that is anywhere near the top of the priority list for Arsenal. If it can be done, though, I'd certainly be up for that. Really, really would. Who is this guy? Newcastle United are bigger than Woolwich, Tim Pot, Little Club, Arsenal. When was the last time Newcastle bloody won anything? Flipping hell, the richest club in the world, and you've signed Chris Wood as your striker. My God. Looking at people like Nick Pope, decent enough goalkeeper, but you're hardly setting the world on light. Matt Target at left back. Look at Newcastle, the richest club in the world. They've got a hangover from the Mike Ashley era, it seems, when you look at the types of players that they're trying to sign. But anyway, it doesn't make sense that you're back in Newcastle and have that as your screen name. But anyway, if you're going to troll Arsenal, you'll be blocked. See you later, mate. Done. Not interested. Okay, let's see what else we've got. Oh, look, there's another one. Is this another one in here? Cap Pacino, apparently. Considering we ruined your UCL hopes, come to us when you've won something. Block. There we go. Get rid of him. Can't be bothered. Can't be bothered. Tailwood Studio says, you really need to get some mods in your streams to filter out some of the clueless clowns in here. Listen, when we only had like 1,000 or 2,000 subscribers, we never used to get this. We never used to get this. We literally used to get a small group of dedicated people that used to come along and enjoy the streams with me. And we're really very much the foundation to the program. And now, obviously, as it's grown, there's more of a need for that. And yeah, it's something I've got to look at. But yeah, we do get them from time to time. But where would be the fun if I couldn't live block them anyway? And I've become very ruthless in that sense now. Never used to do it. Used to just fight with them, argue back at them. Now I can't be bothered. Greg says he'll mod for a barbecue. Just saying, do you know what? If you want to be a mod on the channel, if you are one of the regulars that's on there and you want to be a mod, then please do drop me a DM and I will add that right to a few people because it would help me. And if you'd like to be a part of it, then for sure, let me know. You know what? If you're a member, and you're in the Discord server and you want a mod, just drop me a DM. Let me know what your YouTube name is so I can make sure I can find it, because some of them differ, and then and we'll get that sorted. And thank you, Craig, for your very, very kind donation, mate. Really, really do appreciate it. Okay, look, we've been going for the best part of an hour. I think that we're all pleased and delighted that the announcement regarding Fabio Vieira has been made. He is officially a Gunner. We look forward to seeing how he will fare in Arsenal colours in the coming years. But now the attention turns to securing the signings of a number of other players that Arsenal have been linked with. And of course, we're going to keep you up to date and across all the latest Arsenal news and views here on the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. Give me a follow on Twitter at Harry Simeu. Give the Chronicles of Aguna a follow at Chronicles_AFC. And we'll be back tomorrow with some more content, unless, as I always say during the transfer window, something major breaks. Until next time, take care. Thank you.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.